Then they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases, the covering of ram skins dyed red, the covering of hides of sea cows, and the shielding curtain, the Ark of the Testimony with its poles, and the atonement cover, the table with all its articles, and the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand with its row of lamps and all its accessories, and the oil for the lamp, the gold altar, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, and the curtain for the entrance to the tent, the bronze altar with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, the curtains of the courtyard with its posts and bases, and the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the ropes and tent pegs for the courtyard, all the furnishings for the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and the woven garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments for his sons when serving as priests. The Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the Ark of the Testimony in it and shield the Ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the Ark of the Testimony and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stand and consecrate them. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then dress Aaron in the sacred garments, anoint him and consecrate him so he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics. Anoint them just as you anointed their father so they may serve me as priests. Their anointing will be to a priesthood that will continue for all generations to come." Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month in the second year. When Moses set up the tabernacle, he put the bases in place, erected the frames, inserted the crossbars, and set up the posts. Then he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering over the tent as the Lord commanded him. He took the testimony and placed it in the ark, attached the poles to the ark, and put the atonement cover over it. Then he brought the ark into the tabernacle and hung the shielding curtain and shielded the Ark of the Testimony as the Lord commanded him. Moses placed the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the curtain and set out the bread on it before the Lord as the Lord commanded him. He placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle and set up the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded him. Moses placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting in front of the curtain and burned fragrant incense on it as the Lord commanded him. Then he put up the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. He set the altar of burnt offering near the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and offered it on burnt offerings and grain offerings, as the Lord commanded him. He placed the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing. And Moses and Aaron and his sons used it to wash their hands and feet. They washed whenever they entered the tent of meeting or approached the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. This is God's word. And so much of what we read this morning is about as the Lord commanded Moses. And we start out in chapter 39, verses 32 to 43, that the Israelites did as the Lord commanded. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 9, the Lord had said to Moses, "Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings like the pattern I will show you." And for five more chapters, God lists to Moses the exact requirements for the construction of the tabernacle and all the furnishings of worship. God provides a very specific vision and pattern of how the items of the tabernacle are to be made. He has exact standards for how all of it should be made. In earlier chapters, we were introduced to Bezalel, a man with the skill to oversee the project, and Aholiab, a lead assistant to help with organization and training. And we read in Exodus 35:29 that the Lord commands a freewill offering to take place. And then in Exodus 36, Moses actually had to restrain the people from giving any more because they had more than enough to accomplish the work that God had called them to. And if you want to see exactly how much was given, see Exodus chapter 38, verses 21 to 31, to see the amount of materials that were used to understand the scope of the offering which had been given. Beginning in chapter 36, which we looked at last time, through the middle of chapter 39, Bezalel and the other skilled craftsmen made the items to the Lord's specifications. And that brings us up to today's passage, where Moses inspects the work. And so in verse 33, we see that they brought the tabernacle, and its specifications and how it was built can be found in chapter 36, verses 8 through 38. And in verse 35, we see that they brought in the Ark of the Covenant with its poles and the atonement cover. And that is described in chapter 37, verses 1 through 9. And then in verse 36, we see the table with all its articles and the bread of presence. And that, in its construction, is described in chapter 37, verses 10 through 16. And in verse 37, we read of the pure gold lampstand with its row of lamps. And that is described in chapter 37, verses 17 through 24. And then in verse 38, we read of the gold altar. And that is described in chapter 37, verses 25 through 29. We read of the bronze altar in verse 39, which was described in chapter 38, verses 1 through 7. Also in verse 39, we read of the basin for washing, which is described in chapter 38, verse 8. The courtyard in verse 40 was described in detail in chapter 38, verses 9 through 20. And then in verses 41, we read of the priestly garments that were worn for the ministering and the sacred garments for both Aaron and his sons. And then reminiscent of the concluding words at the end of the account of creation, at the end of Genesis 1 and the beginning of Genesis 2, in verse 32 we read, "All the work was completed." And then in verse 43, Moses saw that it had been done just as the Lord had commanded. And in response, in verse 43, Moses blesses the children of Israel. And that brings us to chapter 40. And in verses 1 through 33, we see that Moses finished the work. So the skilled craftsman had brought the articles to him, and it was now his responsibility to put them all together. We read that the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month. That's in verse 2. We read in verse 17 that this was the beginning of the second year of the wandering in the desert. Now, since Israel had entered the Sinai desert in the third month after the Exodus, according to Exodus chapter 19, and we know that Moses had been on Mount Sinai for two separate 40-day periods in chapters 24 and 34, plus the events covered in chapters 19 through 24 and chapters 32 to 33, that means that the building of the tabernacle to took less than 6 months. The ark, the most prominent object in the tabernacle, is the first to be mentioned in verse 3. This is God's throne in the midst of Israel. And then the curtain and how it shielded the ark is further described in verse 21. And when we read in verses 9 through 11 of the anointing, the Hebrew term kadosh is to consecrate it, which is how it's translated in the NIV, which literally means to sanctify it in the sense of setting it apart for the service of the Lord. In the King James, that term is translated hallow, the same word we will sing later in the service when we sing the Lord's Prayer when speaking of God's name. In verses 12 through 16, the anointing and consecrating of the priesthood included Aaron and his sons. And the institution of the priesthood is for all generations to come. And although the hereditary priestly office of the Aaronic line ends, Christ would eventually carry it out perpetually. Verse 17 parallels verse 2 in almost every detail. Verse 2 said, "Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month." Verse 17 says, "So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month in the second year." And verses 18 through 33 contain seven subsections, each concluding with the formula, "As the Lord commanded him," or "As the Lord commanded Moses." In verse 18, we see that Moses set up the tabernacle as the Lord commanded him. In verse 20, we see that he took the testimony and he placed it in the ark as the Lord commanded him. In verse 22, we see that Moses placed the table as the Lord commanded him. In verse 24, we see that he placed the lampstand as the Lord commanded him. In verse 26, we see Moses placed the gold altar as the Lord commanded him. We see in verse 28 that he put up the curtain, and in verse 29 that he set the altar of burnt offerings as the Lord commanded him. And then we see in verse 30 that he placed the basin as the Lord commanded Moses. And we see in verse 33 that Moses finished the work. And that brings us to the last section from which we took the title for this morning's message. In verses 34 through 38, we read of the glory of the Lord. The tabernacle has been constructed, and it's been set in order as the Lord had commanded Moses. Yet, something was missing. Form must be invested with divine life. So in 34 and 35, we see that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This was the fulfillment of a promise made back in Exodus 25, verse 8, when the Lord said, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." That word dwell, the Hebrew shachan, which means to abide, or to dwell, or to reside, or in some translations, even to tent with. With the arrival of the glory of the Lord, the nation of Israel was ready to move on. The promise of the divine messenger to lead the people, which was found in chapter 23, repeated again in chapters 32 and 33, is fulfilled. Commentator W.H. Gispin explains, "The Lord now dwelled in their midst as their leader, their king, and until they reached Canaan, the Lord, by means of the cloud, determined whether Israel stayed or moved on." And the signal to journey, in verse 36, was whenever the cloud lifted. Much of what we read this morning has to do with obedience. The Israelites did what Moses commanded them. Moses did what the Lord commanded him. And what was the result? The visual manifestation of God dwelling with his people, directing them where to go. Wouldn't that be great to know when to stay and when to go by such a clear signal? For many, today is high school graduation. Holliston High, Ashland High, and Tri-County all have graduation ceremonies today. Franklin High and Hopkinton High had graduation ceremonies on Friday night. I remember graduating high school. There was a lot of uncertainty. Sure, I knew where I was going to college, but beyond that, there was so much unknown. I was yearning for a sign. And even as adults, we also yearn for signs. What job should we take? Who should we marry? Where should we live? Even when we think that we are making the right choice, there can be self-doubt. There can be second-guessing by others who don't agree with the decision that we've made. For the Israelites, the great thing about the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is that everyone in the community saw and understood what that sign meant. Today, it can often be hard to discern God's will. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the dwelling place of God's glory. Colossians 2:9 tells us that in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, causing Jesus to exclaim to Philip in John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." In Christ, we see the visible manifestation of God himself in the second person of the Trinity. Although his glory was also veiled, Jesus was nonetheless the presence of God on earth. And when we get to heaven, we will see both the Son and the Father in all their glory. And 1 John 3, verse 2 tells us that we shall see him as he is. It wasn't that long ago that we were studying Exodus chapter 33, where Moses demanded, "Now show me your glory." And we know that when Moses spent time with the Lord, his face shone. We saw that in Exodus 34. Early on in the desert, the glory of the Lord was something which the Israelites experienced secondhand through Moses. Now, in response to their corporate obedience, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. As you sit here this morning, are you experiencing the fullness of Christ? In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." What exactly are his commands? In 1925, J.S. McConnell developed a framework of 21 categories with 7 commands in each group for a total of 147. A book by Peter Whitstock is titled "Hear Him: The 125 Commands of Jesus." Bill McGinnis published 50 commands in what he calls the complete list of the commands of Christ. Matthew Robert Payne wrote an article, "The 50 Commands of Jesus," and Bill Gothard assembled a list of 49. Jesus' commands are found in all 4 Gospels. And in Matthew 5:17, he made it clear that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So what are those commands? Repent. Do not be troubled. Follow me. Rejoice. Let your light shine. Honor God's law. Be reconciled. No adultery. Keep your word. Go the second mile. Love your enemies. Be perfect. Practice secret disciplines. Lay up treasures in heaven. Seek the kingdom of God. Judge not. Don't throw pearls to pigs. Ask, seek, knock. Do unto others. Choose the narrow way. Beware of false prophets. Pray. Be shrewd as serpents. Fear God. Listen to God. Take my yoke. Honor your parents. Beware false teaching. Deny yourself. Do not despise children. Go to those who offend you. Forgive offenders. Beware of covetousness. Honor marriage. Lead by being a servant. Make church a house of prayer. Pray in faith. Bring in the poor. Render unto Caesar. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. Be born again. Await my return. Celebrate the Lord's Supper. Keep my commandments. Watch and pray. Feed my sheep. Make disciples. teach disciples to obey, and receive God's power. As you do just as the Lord commands and experience His glory, recall the following. The glory of God comes to show us that He alone is our salvation. The glory comes to show us that He alone is our protection. And the glory comes to show us that He alone is our direction. As you seek Him in your daily walk, remember that you weren't meant to do it alone. The reason the Israelites were able to construct the tabernacle and all its furnishings in less than 6 months was because they worked together as a team. As believers, we are meant to be in community. When you go to guest reception and coffee hour, encourage one another as you ask about each other's week and listen to their responses. Practice hospitality. Invite someone for a coffee or a meal, and speak of spiritual matters. Come to the midweek service. Attend Sunday worship. Give generously to the offering for the support of the local ministry. Teach Sunday school. Pray with another believer. Live out the tenets enumerated in our church covenant. Experience God's glory as you follow His commands in the context of a faith community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of the obedience first of the nation of Israel and then Moses in following Your commands. And we thank You, Lord, that when they had completed the work in accordance with Your commands, we thank You for the powerful way that You showed up. We thank You for the way that You showed Yourself to be their salvation, the way that You showed Yourself to be their direction. And we'd ask, Lord, that as we seek to live in community with other believers, Lord, as we strive to sense Your leading, that You would remind us that You have already provided the direction for us. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, which indwells those of us who call You as our Savior. And we'd ask, Lord, that You would continue to guide us and protect us and remind us that You have brought us salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your word, and we'd ask that when we go forth from this place, we might be reminded of Your presence in our midst. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. At this time, I would invite the ushers